chance for Sean Mackie to strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're Navy Blue, are you?
Hello and welcome to an audition of Falkirk Daft. It is me, John McNally. I am your host today. No Ross this week, but we are going to talk Motherwell. It's the next game up. Two back-to-back home games, and there's still the chance, a slim chance, that we could do Europe. So we need to win against Motherwell. We're going to speak to Stephen Rayside about Motherwell and the season they are having at the moment. Bits of club news that have come in over the last couple of days since we last spoke. Crunchy Carrots, they're finishing their sponsorship. Shout out to Scott and the team over at Crunchy Carrots. They've been such massive supporters. And, you know, I was a bit apprehensive when I saw this big carrot going in on front of the top, but those tops are now going to be historic, legendary, and reprinted in years to come. And I'll be sad to see the carrot going from the front of the Falkirk shirt, but I guess it means a new sponsor's coming on board for next season. We'll wait and see who that is. Season tickets are on sale now. Early bird pricing's up until the 31st of May. So if you are a season ticket holder, get in and get it cheap while you can. Last year was an amazing turnaround, getting to that 5745. You know, 6,000 has been set this season. Hopefully we can get that for the 26-27 season. So we're looking out for your email, drop it into your inbox, and let's see if we can do that number again next season. The great news as well, tickets for under-12s still go for free, and that's thanks to the community partners, Your Equipment Solutions. So yeah, let's see if we can get that 6,000 number for next season. After the season and the top six finish this season, I don't see why we couldn't get there. Bear Survey is up now as well. They did had about over 1,000 people responding to it. So that's a 25% increase in last year. So that's really, really good to see. And all the findings you'll be able to see on the Falkirk website. There's a couple of facts have been pointed out. I'd like to see the full survey and see what's what with it. The car parking got slated just due to the potholes, I suspect, out at the back of an horse stand. Got 2.7 out of 5. And obviously, there was a lot of comments about the nightmare that is getting into the stadium at the moment. As I said, when it all first started, it's an accident waiting to happen. Luckily, nothing's happened yet. But on match day, people just walk on the road. It's just an absolute nightmare. So all the survey results are in. I hope we get to see the full thing and the reports of that relatively soon. Good luck if you got a, well done if you got a ticket for Hearts away. I think I heard from a few people that weren't able to get tickets for it. But be a good midweek trip away. I won't make it due to work, so I'll watch that one on the telly. But yeah, it possibly could be the day that Hearts win the league. So be interested to be in the stadium at that point. But yeah. Well done if you got a ticket for that. And congratulations to Kyrell Wilson, won Goal of the Month of the SPFL for April with an absolute cracker against Celtic. I have to hold my hand up, Super Scoreboard, one of the shows I work on, didn't even get a look in for Goal of the Weekend. I was like, what is going on? Ridiculous. Obviously, we're going to be having our Goal of the Season Falkirk Daft Awards will be getting launched this Sunday, and I'm pretty sure that Kyrell Wilson will be ranked in that for our Goal of the Season. We'll be having Player of the Season and Goal of the Season as we normally do it, and we'll be awarding those awards on the 15th of May at Behind the Wall. If you've got your ticket for Falkirk Daft Live, we'll see you down there. We've got our other guests confirmed. All will be revealed on the review show from the Motherwell game on Monday. So John McGowan, Paul Smith, and two others. Who will they be? We'll find out on Monday's podcast. Right, let's talk Motherwell now, and let's talk in the company of a man who you've heard him on the radio. He's a very famous Motherwell supporter. He's been on Off the Ball, he's been on radio things. I think he might be in Falkirk this weekend. It's Stephen Rayside.
How you doing, mate? You alright?
Are you classing yourself as a well-known Motherwell supporter? Note to write, procedure, Stephen.
It's never for me to say whether I'm a celebrity or no. If people know me, they know me. And if they don't, then it's good for them, to be honest. But no, if they know me, then fair enough. I just try and do my best, as everybody else does. But on the board at the World Society, then absolutely loving things. So.
I know, there you go. Before we actually talk about the game, Stephen, let's talk about a campaign that you're supporting this week. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so next week I'm the lead disability lead for the Scottish Football Union, and we have our SFU Disability Forum. It's the first ever one that we're running, and the premise of it, John, is essentially to get DEOs from clubs in the one room. And I think we've got most of the Premiership clubs, there's a couple that aren't coming, but I think we've got about 45 guests in total, and we've got some great speakers at the event. We've got Ashley Reid, the CEO of Scottish Para Football. She's going to be coming and doing a chat. We've got John Attenborough, who people may know from his time at Motherwell last year, where they used the Gear Vision headsets and got to see a game for the first time. He's doing a speech. He works with us at the SFU. And we've got Owen Davis, the CEO of Level Playing Field, who are responsible for overseeing the standards of disabled facilities across the UK. So there's some really good speakers at the event, as well as Keith Ferguson, who's done work for CAFE, the Centre of Access for Football in Europe and across Scotland as well. So I think it's imperative that people who are working towards improving things for disabled people are almost meeting up once a year, if you like, to discuss how we improve things, to have everyone pulling in the same direction. So it's really good to provide that catalyst, if you like, for that to happen.
Yeah, well, it's good, you know, beforehand, you know, you can tell us better than anyone, Stephen. It was just a case of people getting wheeled into the disabled section and just kind of left there. And it was like there was no... some people, in fact, Falkirk, I'm not too sure if I've got a raised section. It was just like, there you go. And it seems to have been getting gradually better across the grounds.
I think when the majority of this stuff was put in the 90s, there's a lot of old stadia. So it was just a case of facilitating it if and where you can, so that disabled people had an option and whatever they could. And unfortunately, at a lot of stadiums, that's low down and it's low to the ground, and you don't get the best view of the game. But what I've always been an advocate for is, particularly with modern stadiums, I mean, you've seen Hampden have renovated theirs, Celtic and Rangers have done it recently, that we need elevated views, because that allows us the best possible chance to see the game, and like everyone else, and it makes you feel involved as well in the atmosphere, which is a big, big thing. For disabled supporters to just feel involved within the crowd and amongst it. But what we try to do at the SFU as well, it's not just big things like that, because we know that there's financial burdens. It's how can we improve ticketing for disabled supporters as well, because a lot of the clubs, particularly for away games, there's no clear information on what club to contact. It can change from fixture to fixture, contact this club, contact that club. And I think there's a way that we can make that better, which will hopefully be announced to everyone within the upcoming year that we're going to try and roll out. So there's that we want to improve as well. But there's also clubs in Scotland who don't have a DSA, smaller clubs that don't even have a Disabled Supporters Association. So how can we help them set up a DSA? And it doesn't matter whether they've only got two or three disabled supporters. They should have somewhere that they could go and that they can meet up monthly to discuss how they improve the disabled facilities or the experience within their stadium.
Well, that's good that you're leading the way there. And like you say, Stephen, you know, it's something that I think you've campaigned really heavily for, and hopefully you see an improvement as it goes on. Let's talk Motherwell now, though, Stephen, and you've got a smile on your face. I mean, why wouldn't you, as a Motherwell supporter? We'll talk about the manager of the year candidates in a bit. We've spoke earlier in the season, Stephen, and you were raving about the football. It's just continued. You had a wee bit of a blip, you know, obviously being defeated at Fir Park by your nemesis Falkirk, but you've had a wee bit of a
by the way.
This is my worry because we've kind of had it over you this season, undefeated against Marlow. In fact, we must be the only team you haven't beaten.
I think Hearts as well. I don't think we've beaten Hearts. But hopefully both of those are subject to change. But no, listen, it's been fantastic, hasn't it? I mean, you look at the performance at the weekend at Ibrox. I mean, that first half, Motherwell played like a European side, an elite level European side, and that went to Ibrox. Rangers just couldn't get near us, and we've seen how difficult it can be for teams in Europe at Ibrox at times. We went there and we passed them off the pitch at times. I think Rangers got the press wrong. They kind of went with a 4-4-2, sat two in the middle, and we kind of just flooded the midfield and got to Wanda to drop short and put bodies in there and created an overload with the two boys high and wide. So it's been fantastic all season, John, to be honest with you. It's been great football. And I think in the games, these top six games, everybody's going, oh, well, that's Motherwell got top six sewn up. Europe sewn up, rather. They're going to kind of take their foot off the gas. I don't see that being the case at all, because I think that we want to prove against these top six sides just how good we are. Everybody's been talking about how good the football is. But I think if you were to nitpick maybe slight things that haven't went as well, our results against the top six clubs have been hit or miss. So hopefully we can get a clear run towards the end of the season and put that right.
Well, hopefully it doesn't start on Saturday. But yeah, I mean, obviously, but absolutely fine. Stephen O'Donnell, see them playing down the left on against Rangers. I mean, you were lucky in the fact, obviously, it went 2-0 and then you got back to 2-2. And, you know, we had very similar. In fact, we got obviously beat by several goals by Rangers when they scored, went on to score six goals. But yeah, you were able to get. And what a feeling at Ibrox to actually score one in the last couple of minutes to beat Rangers. That must have been an absolute buzz.
I was watching it at home because I had stuff on, but I said to my dad, I said, Dad, I've got a feeling that we're going to score in the last minute here, because I knew Rangers were going to have to go for the game because they're in a title race, they needed to win it, and I just thought it would leave gaps, and it's exactly what happened. But I think it speaks to the mentality of this team, John, because I don't know if you remember earlier in the season, we found ourselves three goals up at Tynecastle with 20 minutes to go, and they pegged us back to three each. So to be pegged back at 2-2 at Ibrox, and then to have the mentality and the resilience to, one, stay in the game, but two, go on and find a winner, it just speaks how much this side have learned across the season. And I think it's our best performance. People will talk about the Celtic one at home, but for me, that one's better because of where you're going, because of who you're up against, because you're playing against Rangers post-split chasing a title. That, to me, was our best performance of the season.
Yeah. Why haven't Motherwell been able to beat Falkirk this season, though? I'm intrigued to hear from a Motherwell perspective. What do you think, you know, that Falkirk have over Motherwell?
Falkirk get some really good technical players, and one thing that Falkirk have been really good against us is winning the ball in the middle and hitting us on the counter attack and just killing us. But you've also got a big threat that you see for set pieces, and Barney Stewart. He killed us as well. So he's got a physical presence, which is something that maybe we struggle with slightly. And you've got a manager in John McGlynn who's just got a team that's absolutely flying. Both boxes, he's all right. I know you mentioned the Rangers game, but he's got a solid defence, and then he's got players like Calvin Miller and Barney Stewart up front who can kill you in the other box. So I just think that it's as simple as that Falkirk had a good side, and they've been clinical whenever they've played against us.
Yeah, mentioned their manager there, John, up for Manager of the Year. Jens Bertelsky, surprisingly, been left off the shortlist. Stephen, what do you make of that?
I think on this podcast, to keep everybody happy, we'll say that Jens should be in instead of Gary Naismith, right? And we'll keep John in there. but listen, they've only got three spots, and I think you'll agree as well that Derek McInnes is the obvious one of what he's done with Hearts. I mean, to be top of the league before they go, he's always going to be in there. And Gary is overachieving with a part-time team and staying in that league, almost going for back-to-back promotions. So I just think that they've had a decision to make. They had to cut one, and it was maybe a toss up between John and Jens, because they wanted to represent all the weeks. So Gary was always going to get in as well. But obviously, from a Motherwell point of view, I'm going to make the argument that Jens also got to a semi final. Jens has only been working with this team since the summer. And if I'm nitpicking, Falkirk get put up at a semi final of a team in the division lower than them. Motherwell never. I'm still feeling this at winning defeat, so I know that Dunfermline defeat will still be saying, but obviously, from a Motherwell point of view, I'm going to say that Jens deserves to be in, but I promise you, any Falkirk fans listening, I'm not taking away for the job that John's done. I think he's had some of these players in his squad for League One, so he's done absolutely fantastic. But yeah, I just think with the time that Jens has had to work with these players, he's been the name on everybody's lips alongside John, and I think both deserve to be in it. But I think
probably the vote was made when we looked like, you know, but it was just probably before the semi final when we thought, oh well, if Falkirk get to the Scottish Cup final and have made top six, you know, he deserves to be an outcry if he wasn't. But you know, it's certainly an outcry now that Jens Bertolascu isn't in there. It's weird too how they only have three managers up for it. Like when you look at Player of the Year, which obviously Motherwell, Elijah Just, Tawanda Masranisi, both up for player of the year, but they only have three managers up. I always find that a bit strange, but they've got four players up.
And is there not a case, right? I know that it's always three, right? But see, when you get a season like this, when there's more than one obvious candidate, can you not just nominate more than three anyway?
I don't know why. I don't have a problem with that. I'll speak to Fraser Wishart. He does Super Scoreboard. So I'll get to the bottom of that and find out from Fraser why that is. I'm sure he'll have an answer for me. Talk about the player of the season then. Is it Masranisi? Is it Just? Is it someone else that plays for Motherwell?
It's crazy because I think there's so many people that have been hard done by.
Addinger and Elliot Watt have always really, really impressed. Paul McGinn's having some season as well.
I'm glad you named him Paul. That's the one that I remember. Paul McGinn's 37 years of age. I'm sitting here with a disability, and Paul might be getting a shot of the wheelchair soon. I'm telling you, if it keeps going on. But no, listen, what Paul McGinn is, he's Mr. Consistent. He just plays at a constant level through every game. He's a constant seven. And the biggest compliment that I can give Paul is that opposition fans won't notice him, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
He's so steady, but that tells me that that's a defender that's not making mistakes.
Absolutely.
Stephen O'Donnell's been brilliant. Callum Ward's been brilliant. I think what I can see for this window, right, it's just been perfect because the players that we signed, none of them were the bad signing, not one. And what Jens has been able to do as well is the players that were already there, he's made them better. So it's been a perfect recipe. But I think that Paul McGinn's been very, very hard done by, given his age, given the fact his age and how long he's been playing, he deserves to be in there for me.
Shine it for the summer then, because obviously they're going to be the vultures circling around the manager and the players. Stephen, you know, who do you think you've got any chance of retaining the manager, the players? What are you thinking?
I can tell you that we are very much, we know that Jens is a great manager. He's probably going to go on to bigger and better things. But we are very much preparing for next season with Jens Bertolaski in charge. But we've seen with Michael Wimmer how quickly things can change in football. So, but as of this moment, we are very much preparing for next season with Jens Bertolaski. And I think it's a good problem to have. That clubs are going to be wanting your players. But, like anything, they're not going to be sold unless the valuation is met. We've seen it with Lennon Miller. It's just not going to happen. So it's a good problem to have. I think 98% of the clubs in world football are selling clubs. You've only got a couple of elites like Real Madrid who can handpick, PSG who can handpick whoever they want, Man City. But even Celtic and Rangers are selling clubs to teams in Europe or teams in the Premier League. So, Motherwell are no different, but evaluations have to be met before that's even discussed.
The thing is with Motherwell is that, you know, these players have become assets just because of the way that Motherwell play. And it's, if you go into another side, who's to say, like someone like Elijah Just, who's a bit smaller, a bit more slight, will work in a system, you know, because he just fits that Motherwell system perfectly, as does, you know, Masuanisi, Elliot Watt, players like that. So I'll be interested to see what happens in the summer from a Motherwell perspective. I mean, as I've said in previous podcasts, you know, Motherwell are an example of where Falkirk want to be, similar size clubs, fan owned. It just, we're waiting for that next step that, you know, obviously you've had the big transfers, which I spoke about it the other week there. And you've with Derek, who was on, and you've had that, you know, you've had the Lennon Millers, you've had the Stephen Pearsons, you've had the David Turnbulls that have all left the club for really good money. And that's, you know, what Falkirk should be looking to do next. And hopefully we're in a position now that we've got a couple of assets that, you know, Calvin Miller, Barry Stewart, Henderson, you know.
You definitely do. You definitely do have a couple of assets. And it's always the same in football. Players go. You've just mentioned the players that we've sold there, David Turnbull, Lennon Miller. But what clubs like Falkirk and Miller want you to do, is that's where your recruitment comes in, that you have the next player lined up so that you can go again. And so that you can, your player trading model, even at Celtic, even at Rangers, is so, so vital to how well you do on the pitch. And I think you can be confident in the guys that you've got on the board and John McGlynn, that they'll do the right thing. He's assembled a great squad there just now, so I'm assuming they'll be aware that bids will be coming in, and they will have identified targets that they can maybe look at when that discussion comes up to the place.
I certainly hope so. Who worries you from a Falkirk perspective, Stephen?
Calvin Miller, Barney Stewart, Keelan Adams. There's players that are just fantastic that can hurt you. I think he's got a really solid goalkeeper and Scott Bain as well. Is he injured at the moment?
He's injured. I don't know if we'll see Scott at the end of the season. He's got a really bit. They thought he'd broken something, but I don't think he'll play on Saturday. We've got a really good deputy in Nicky Hogarth there as well. Interested to see whether Philip Lisa comes back into side. Liam Henderson was missing against Celtic as well. Three really key players for us. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. From your perspective, Calvin...
Can I just say, you had all those players missing at Celtic Park that you just mentioned, key players for you. And I actually thought 3-1 flattered Celtic a wee bit. I thought he's playing a really good performance. And on another day, the cards may have fell another way for you. So that just speaks to the strength and depth that you've got in the squad. And you mentioned Nicky Hogarth there, who is a brilliant deputy for Scott Bain. There's loads of players within the Falkirk side that worry me. We've no beaties this season. Why wouldn't I be worried? And coming to the Falkirk Stadium, it's always going to be a difficult game, but I'm hoping that I don't hear Tony Christie at any point and we walk away. Honestly, see your goal song. It's like the Scottish football version of the Bayern Munich goal song. Because it just turns your head in.
Well, you say you're maybe due one from his. What do you think the score's going to be on Saturday, Stephen?
I'm going to be confident. I think that, no disrespect to his, but I think 6 is pretty much where he's going to finish. Although I'm assuming you've probably got an eye on Hibs. So I'm hoping that we us having to go there and having to win to pretty much secure Europe, providing that Celtic beat Hibs on Sunday. I'm going to go Motherwell 2, Falkirk 1.
Right, well, I'm going to go the other way, and I'm going to go 2-1 Falkirk, because it's win or bust for us. If we lose this game on Saturday, our slim aspirations of Europe are falling away, and the season just peters out. So I think after the performance at Celtic Park, we bounce back from that Scottish Cup semi-final, which we'll never mention ever again. I do think it's win or bust for John, and I'm quite fancy going unbeaten against the Lanarkshire Galacticos. So I'm going to go for a 2-1 for the Bairns.
We'll see, but Listen, obviously, I'm going to be visiting our friends from Falkirk on Saturday on the board, so it'll be good to see you on Saturday, but hopefully you're not smiling. Come.
What's this? You've been invited to the boardroom, have you?
Yeah, well, I've been invited to
What's going on here? Falkirk FC, I have a long-term supporter, big supporter of the club, never been invited to a director's box or the boardroom. Look at this boy wandering in there, high boy, celebrity fan, get me in the boardroom, eh?
Nah, I think we both clubs being fan-owned, we've got quite a good relationship with the guys at Falkirk, and we had these guys
and
over
there. You're a director of the Well Society as well, Stephen, yeah. So we'll let you, yeah, there you go.
We had these guys up at the game at Firth Park just past there. So it's good to keep those ties going, and I think as fan-owned clubs, there's things that we can learn from each other. And it's
absolutely
good to see, by the way, fan-owned clubs in Scotland doing so well. You've got Falkirk having a great season. You've got Motherwell.
Oh, we don't really care.
Hearts won the league. St Mirren won the league cup, although they could be in a playoff. But listen, it'll never work, fan ownership, will it? Never work, eh?
Brilliant. Listen, Stephen, thanks so much for joining us on Falk Daft. Really appreciate your time. We'll see you Saturday.
No problem, Megan. Looking forward to seeing you. Cheers.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
And that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. We're back on Monday to review the Motherwell game. Hopefully a win for Falkirk. We'll wait and see. Congratulations to John McGlynn on his Manager of the Year nomination. Let's see if he can do the hat trick. Got a funny feeling I might be getting McInnes though. But congratulations to Gary Naismith as well, doing a really good job at Stenny. We'll wonder if the Warriors will go up this weekend. Big game on Saturday for them. So you'll be interested to see if they go up this season and if Naismith has a shout at the Manager of the Year. But you know, I don't hold anything bad against the Warriors. I don't fault they do against us, but I don't mind the Warriors. I go down to see them from time to time. So best of luck to Stenny is what I'm saying from a Falkirk supporter. But yeah, we'll see you at Motherwell. We'll see what happens in the game. It's win or bust, isn't it? If we win, there's still that chance. If we go on to Hibs the week after, beat them, game on. Absolute game on. And then we'll see what happens against Hearts and Rangers. But yeah, it's win or bust this weekend for that European place. Fingers crossed, it's more win than bust. We'll see you at the game. Enjoy it. We'll be back on the Falkirk Daft to review Motherwell on Monday. Remember, usual stuff, get us where you get your podcast, like and subscribe, all that jazz. Thank you very much again to our sponsors, Behind the Wall, and of course, Carpetway sponsoring this week's episode as well. You will get your full house done with that deal. Talked about it for £799, your full house carpeted, sorted. Get down to see them on Burnbank Road, just opposite the old Martell, and they're doing artificial grass as well, starting at £999 per square metre. So get your grass measured up, forget the lawnmower, get your Carpetways, Burnbank Road, just off Graham's Road. And thank you very much for sponsoring this episode alongside our usual sponsors Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training. Right, we'll see you on the next one, and until that time, till that nine, that time, expect the unexpected.
We're Falkirk Daft, talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft, you can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Daft. For everyone who's kidding about being a Falkirk, we're Falkirk Daft.